earlier show and a later show and becomes despondent after the first show and is wanting to give up the business entirely. And a band member, you know, one of the guys who's in the band, gets a hold of him and gives him, says, "Oh, we can make you feel better. We can make you feel better. You'll feel better for the second show. You're going to feel a lot better. We've got something for that." And gives him his first marijuana cigarette. And Don Adams describes, he says he'd never seen anything like this before. He'd never even heard of it. And they give this thing to him. They teach him how to smoke it. And then he goes out on stage, and evidently for the whole time, or for most of the time he's out on stage, all he's saying is, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen," screaming, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen," over and over and over and over again. And then I think about 25 minutes in, he starts coming to, and he realizes he's just saying, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen," over and over again. So he sort of comes a little bit to his senses, but then for the latter portion of it, he just keeps saying, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen."
Well, so, did Mae West get mad at him? Wasn't he interrupting the show?
I'll let you in on this story. What happened? Okay, I'll do the story in reverse. So he does. He comes back for the second show and does this, and as he's sort of coming down from this, and he realizes what he's done, and he just says the whole audience is just staring at him. But the first time when he went out there for the first time and did his routine, no one was listening to him, because prior to him going on the stage, the guy had come out to introduce him and said, "Oh, this is your last chance to get food or alcohol, because when Miss West comes out, there will be no serving of anything." So Don Adams described doing his whole set where everybody's just ordering and drinking and eating and they're just not listening to him at all. So when he did the second show, when he was just screaming, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen," he says he had everybody's attention then. So he thought.
Oh, so he wasn't playing with Mae West. He was an opening act.
He'd been selected by Mae West to be her opening act. And so he, after the "good evening, ladies and gentlemen" thing, after the marijuana thing, he goes, "Okay, this is it. I'm really out of the business now." And so he was in his dressing room, and the guy, Mae West's manager, comes in, and Don Adams goes, I know. I'm packing my things. I'm leaving. Don't worry." And he goes, No. He says, "It was great." And what it was that what I didn't tell you, the earlier part of the story, Mae West demanded, prior to the program, to the show, demanded that Don Adams come down and do his routine right in front of her in the dressing room. So he came down, and he did his first joke or whatever, and she just put up her hand, and she went, "Stop." And she would never talk to Don Adams directly. She would only talk to her manager, and she'd say, "Tell him I," and she'd whisper in his ear or something, and then the manager would go over to Don Adams and says, "She likes everything but the end line." And he goes, "You mean the punchline?" He says, "Right." So, and every time every part of his routine he did, Mae West objected to the punchline. She says, "Don't do, you know, I don't want you to do that punchline." But she'd do it all through the manager. And so Don Adams realized that Mae West didn't want anybody who preceded her to get any laughs. She actually wanted somebody to go out, a comedian to go out and fail, so that when she came out, you know, she would do her whole routine and she'd get the laughs. So when Don Adams just went out and did "Good Evening, Ladies and Gentlemen" for 25 minutes, that was just great for her because there was no routine there. So anyway, but it was interesting to me. The reason I told that story was just the, as Roxy said, the amount of drug use that, how that was just a staple of American bands, a lot of them, maybe not all of them. I can't imagine Lawrence Welk, but, you know, who knows? You know, all the way from the 30s and maybe the 20s and prior to that, all the way into
it's
the 1970s.
The big weapons attacking America, you know, the creativity of people and a way of sabotaging people from really being in their full capability.
What, by doing what?
Drugs.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And of course they were.
I was thinking the name, the mothers of invention, is actually very, very, very Hamiltonian.
Yeah. So
it's like, there for progress.
Yeah.
There for human labor. There for invention and discovery.
Yeah. Mothers of invention. That's LaRouche.
And it's actually like really like a counterpoint to the meme of the founder fathers.
Mm.
Fathers.
Right.
I always tend to say it in German. You know, my father.
But you sort of wonder whether the drug use of, you know, people in music might have been a reaction to how routine everything was. That they would go out and do the song and so on. Whereas Frank was sort of changing things all the time so that you couldn't just lean on it. You couldn't just be bored and survive in that environment.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, drugs, it seems to me, you know, I mean, this is coming from someone who hasn't done, you know, those kind of drugs in their life. It seems to me drugs is for people who are kind of bored with life.
Yep. And like Zappa, he never play the same guitar solo. He always kept a changed environment, like the guy says in rehearsals. So he found a way to live like a child and just keep flowing, just keep playing and improvising, playing, and nobody was really controlling it.
I mean, even in the concerts when he's doing his what you would call his standards, there's always a strange twist to it, isn't there?
Yeah.
It isn't just doing the album version.
That's why he's the greatest musician, because he was able to keep it alive and not end up in boring routines, you know, as little as possible. I mean, he had his own autonomy.
It's also a way the managers had to manipulate the artist, like Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
You know, his manager will give him amphetamines to just to keep him going,
right,
explode them better.
With the dumb routine.
Yes, there was a series lately in Mexico about a very famous singer called Luis Miguel. He started as a very young child, and the father was his manager, and he was really exploiting him.
Yeah.
And he will give his own son things to keep him awake and to just to be able to work so much as he was working.
Yeah.
And he was still a teenager.
You give him drugs, you're saying?
Yes, like amphetamines or cocaine or something, just to so that he will be able to keep up with all the work he had to do. He had a lot of appointments. And
how long did he last?
They do with soldiers, too, right? Hitler, the United States military, and other militaries give the soldiers drugs.
Heroin was developed by the Nazis, or I don't know, was it the first war, maybe before the Nazis, but, well, the Germans. And that's why they call it heroin, because they will do heroic acts, because they were drugs.
Like, yeah,
let's take them, kill them. Who cares?
Is the word heroic really derived from heroin?
Yeah.
It is.
Heroin, because the soldiers were given this substance, and they will do very heroic, stupid things.
You have to be crazy.
Heroic, stupid things. You may be the first human to say that.
I hesitate to talking about animation again for fear of annoying Bob.
Please put a cap on that.
Well, that's your specialty.
But the
all a great nose.
The what I'm reminded of when I'm hearing about Zappa is there was a director at Warner Brothers Cartoons called Bob Clampett, and he kind of used his animators very much, when I think about it, very much like Zappa used musicians. And he had two of the greatest animators ever working for him that were very, very different in style. And one of them was considered to be the top animator at Warner Brothers. Not only top in terms of, you know, doing great animation, but being able to do a lot of it, being very prolific. And I dare say that this great animator, who I did meet in the 1970s, this would be work done in the 1940s I'm talking about with Bob Clampett. You know, I don't think he ever did any better work than with Bob Clampett, and this man became a director and did some animation later on too, but it's the inspiration, the allowance for doing things that, again, you never thought maybe you could do, even if you're considered to be the top. Bob Clampett was able to push it further, and it reminds me of Zappa in the music field.
Yeah. I get that. You're saying Bob Clampett inspired this other guy.
Well, yeah. He would go in and he'd say, Bob Clampett was not I wouldn't say he was a great animator, although he had done animation. But he would go in and describe what he wanted to have happen in the scene and act it out. And this guy, whose name was Robert McKimson, he could do it. He said Bob Clampett said that it was like he had a Xerox machine in his head, that he could look at what, you know, Bob Clampett was acting out and the feeling of it or something, and translate it into animation. And here you have a guy who's able to do this, but strangely, without Bob Clampett, this same energy is not there anymore, you know? It's like with Zappa, perhaps, there are musicians that, even as they admit themselves, I think, in these interviews, are doing things that maybe they'll never be able to do again. And it means that they are capable of doing it, but they weren't in the right, they're not in the right atmosphere, or it's a unique atmosphere that Zappa is providing, and that elevates them, and also they're doing it in concert with other people too, and who he is assembled.
Yes, and this is the utopia of America, to create a whole country, and Zappa wanted to become the president of of the mothers of invention country.
Yeah.
The founding fathers country, but a country which is like in his band, you know, that enables everybody to develop their full potential.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what it would be like?
LaRouche's dream would come true. You know, Zappa, I liked his criticism back in 67.
Like,
parents,
Leonardo and Frank the First tried to do it in the ideal city of Romorantin, where everybody was going to be equal and everybody would be able to become like Leonardo. But Leonardo faked his death and the city was never finished.
And it was built after Leonardo died.
Yes, but they took the project to America and and that was supposed to become, you know, like a steel, where Stephen decided to save America and do what it was supposed to be done.
Well, he said something in one of the lyrics. He said, parents never complimented a kid for being smart, or they never appreciate the mind of the kid. Not many parents thought about that. They just want their kids to conform and get along. But,
to obey.
Yeah, to obey. And he said, you never compliment your kids for their mind. And that's true back then. Then the yuppie parents got real ambitious and they did everything to cram inspiration into their kids so that they could survive the test to get into the university so then they all go in debt together. That's a ridiculous alternative. But the... everybody else is talking about drugs and that, and he's saying, hey, you parents, you're jerks. You don't compliment your kid for having a good mind. That was pretty unique at the time. I don't know if anybody else saying that.
Yes, but now that Trump is president, he's being trolled by the mass media, and there are all these caravans, thousands of people trying to invade America. And there is all this opium war going on.
Hey, did you know we had Eben Ray on? Did I tell you about that?
No.
Yeah, so the first part of the show was 2.5 hours talking to Eben Ray. She hadn't been on the radio in 3 years. So it's really interesting, and we have a really good conversation about Trump. So you can hopefully hear that. We'll make it a separate item. But Eben evoked a very interesting conversation. Because she's very smart herself, you know. And she told me that in her 20s after university, she came to Maui. I don't know when this would be, the 80s or something. And lived here for about a year, but found that there was not enough creativity going on. She couldn't, lack of stimulation, so she went back to Los Angeles. So you've got to have stimulation here to do well in Maui. Which, you know, we have.
Well, anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. But Maui is, you'd think, is pretty nice. But in the end, the person's being needs to be stimulated.
Most people think Hawaii is for retired people who are just...
Right, vegetables.
Or for tired filmmakers.
Having cocktails on the beach, looking at the sunset or something like that.
Retired Hollywood, but... There's
not even retired
culture.
Not even retired. Like, wasn't it for a while there considered a place to go for Steven Spielberg or George Lucas or something after they'd, you know, beat their brains out on a movie? They'd go to Maui and hang out.
I didn't know. I didn't know anything about Maui till I got here. I did not know about that stuff. We came here a couple of times in decades before to Hawaii, but. I didn't see anything I wanted to do here. Didn't appeal to me. I wanted to get back to Toronto or New York or something. But now I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. As long as I've got this psionic thing going on.
Yeah, you better keep that one going.
Yeah. So can you play some more, Roxy? Let's finish
this. Hey, Bob, I'm going to get going. I'm running out of steam.
Okay. Well, you did
but,
good. You did good.
But it was pretty good.
Yes, very good discussion.
Okay, so carry on, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So let's hear a little bit more, Roxy. Then I got to play the recording, the rest of the recording.
The shows where each of the musicians were usually allowed to express themselves, or espresso themselves, as Frank would say. It's funny because he knew how much I wanted to play, too, and he would always give me a shot at stepping out and improvising. But he would tease me about it, too, and I recall him saying straight away when we were just going out on the road, he said, "Pat, just remember this. All the world hates a bass solo." Keep it short and sweet.
It was a control issue with Frank. I'm wondering perhaps if it's
that he had a dislike for a particular kind of jazz, like, for example, bebop, you know, because it just took itself way too seriously. You know, so he was going to use jazz, but use it in his way, so that it would work. He would be okay with it.
Support for Ralph Humphrey's argument can be found in the only Zappa composition explicitly dedicated to a jazz musician. He didn't choose to celebrate Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, or Duke Ellington, but the distinctly left-field genius of Eric Dolphy, whose Out to Lunch remains to this day one of the most original recordings of jazz. The Eric Dolphy Memorial Barbecue first appeared in 1970 on Weasels Ripped My Flesh, but Zappa's most jazz-oriented touring ensemble revisited the tune in 1988, his trombonist, Bruce Fowler.
Dolphy is a masterpiece, I think. It's an unbelievable tune. It's a jazz tune, you know. It's kind of an odd jazz tune, but it really is a jazz tune. I suspect he's listened to Eric Dolphy some.
Sent a message.
On the chat line?
No, because I played this on my cell phone, and somebody reminded me that we were supposed to go singing today.
Oh.
But around 3.
And what time is it now?
1:30.
So you have to go soon?
No, it's 1:30 after 3. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be there 1.5 hours, and you have to go far?
You know Mitte? You know the center?
The center?
I think I can make it in 1/2 hour with my bike.
Okay. So I was thinking Paul Humphrey, if he commented, Don Preston, I talked to Don Preston before, he wasn't that he was a bit... He irked at Frank. So they're saying that, you know, Frank was jealous. But it just occurred to me that jazz musicians only do jazz. Like Don Preston, when he first tried to be in the band, he couldn't do the R&B stuff. I think Frank admired the fact that he liked all different kinds of music. Jazz guys are probably too specialized, and that's all they do. And they look down on other musics. And maybe that's what bothered him about jazz. It stayed too much in some one kind of music, whereas Frank played all kinds.
Yes.
That just occurred.
Well, I think he didn't want it to be called experimental composer or this or that. And because he had such a sense of humor, he liked to be a rock star.
Yeah, yeah. So, are you going to play a little more? I think it's almost this. It should only go another couple minutes.
Yes, just a minute. I'm answering because
right.
This friend had a birthday yesterday, and she says she still has a lot of very good Peruvian food.
Right. And so...
Okay, I may go eat, and then we go dancing.
Right, so she's reminding you of the meeting, in case you forgot it.
Yes, I had forgotten.
Oh.
Yes.
The maker of this show is really picking great musical excerpts.
Yeah. Yes, really, really good examples of everything to illustrate the amazing Zappa.
Yeah.
America.
The amazing America.
American band.
Frank makes America great again. Are you looking for a spot?
Well, in the first version, I don't think they can play that. So they just did this version that's kind of a funny version. I thought that it's a serious tune. I you know, to me, it's not a comedy tune. Although it sounded kind of like a comedy tune when he did it first. But I, you know, the quality of the tune kind of won out.
What happened?
Sorry. Oh, sorry. This person just keeps sending me messages. Like,
oh, and that stops the phone?
Yeah, the video. Just, she's still typing something.
Tell her you're on the radio, and she's interrupting the broadcast. She'll never figure that out.
Yes, I'm going to do it.
I'm on the radio. Your emails are interrupting, your texts are interrupting the broadcast. Just say that. She won't know what it means.
Yes. And I'm going to play these to her.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, now she's quoting a song. So what the fuck? Bye, bye, bye. Bye. She sent a recorded message. I wanted to say something. Yes, I was thinking about jazz because maybe people in the jazz environment take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
Like
classical musicians.
Superior.
It's America's classical music, so they're like classical musicians, take themselves very seriously.
Like people in academy,
yes.
In universities.
They think they're doing something spiritual.
I suppose he didn't like that.
Right.
You know, like they... I suppose Frank saw his work as a type of service for humanity. And he was trying to bring good music to everybody.
Yeah.
And maybe he didn't like that. Could be so arrogant.
You mean he wasn't arrogant about bringing good music to people?
Right.
And he even says he won't even be remembered.
Yes, but I think he didn't care.
Right.
Support for Ralph Humphrey's argument can be found in the only Zappa composition explicitly dedicated to a jazz musician. He didn't choose to celebrate Charlie Parker.
We did that.
Coltrane,
It went back.
Yeah. Okay, stop.
Stinkford. And before that, Mr. Watson himself, 3 hours past midnight.
Hey.
It took some time for Zappa to develop the confidence to become the soloist we hear on his later records.
Perhaps you can stop.
The fact that he wasn't a virtuoso player.
Are you saying something?
Yeah, stop.
He developed an extremely idiosyncratic style of soloist. Stop. Based around motives.
In the name of love.
I've jumped to the next show, and it's about him being a guitarist, so I don't want to hear that. I think we missed the ending of it, but it doesn't matter. Okay, we got to move on. So any final remarks about this Frank experience? I think it was good that we went through it. I'll add this to our Zappa inventory.
Yes, because, Frank really had an agenda. As with his band, Mothers of Invention, he's really honoring the concept of America, the environment where you can develop your full potential, and he was trying to do that, to recreate that environment in the Mothers of Invention.
Yeah.
And he actually wanted America to be like a big band where everybody's playing together and working hard to create the big note. But then he died. And we got Trump as a...
Yeah.
As the clone meister.
That's right. Poor Frank died of despondency.
You have to somehow do it with what we have available.
It's a good question whether he died depressed. If he did, he hid it. But Ian says cancer is due to powerlessness. I think Ian said that's the only cause of cancer, feeling powerless. So did he start to feel powerless? Or was he injected with the stuff and killed?
Or both.
Yeah. So where are we at? Okay, I got to 2:38. I got to do another hour of the recording. So get it done by 4. So I have to say goodbye to all members of the audience for now until we finish the recording. So that's Charlie and Sean. If you're around in an hour, we can talk a bit. You still here, Charlie?
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. And what about Charlie? Is he still here? Okay, so Sean.
Where is the revolution?
So Sean.
Hey.
you.
We need more passion.
Yes. So Sean, you did a good thing by being here and listening to that Zappa stuff, right?
Yes, it is always good to see how you and Roxy take out the bits that we won't notice.
Yes.
So you show us the relevance of it.
Yes.
And you do it beautifully. Yeah.
Very good. Good review.
Thank
okay, so
you.
Let me... If you're around an hour, I'll be here to talk, but let me play the rest of this. I got to get Bill to set it up at the right place. And thank you, Roxy, for coming in. And we'll continue.
So I'm going to hang up to recharge the telephone.
Right, and you might be able to talk a little bit. No, you'll have to go. You'll have to go in your...
Yeah, well, I'll just listen as much as I can.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot for contributing.
Thank you.
We know you had a good time.
Citizens,
yes,
of America. We haven't finished this war.
No. We haven't finished this war. That's right.
Okay.
Well, somebody wrote... Do you see that ion that just came in here? Oh, yeah. Ion. What the hell? Ion came in and spoke. What's this?
Cool.
Ion Bob Neverett. Thanks, Bill. Imogen. Howdy, y'all. How does ion get in here? I'll have to ask. But, no, that can be that guy. There's a guy who knows how to get in the code here. Maybe that's him. Okay, so let me carry on. Okay, Bill, I'll just get Bill's attention.
Okay.
Okay, thanks,
Thank
Roxy.
You.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
So, Bill, we have to start at the 18-minute mark or something.